Today's daf in Masechet Ta'anit, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is Daf Gimel, and we're still holding on the bottom of Daf Beit Omud Beit, and we had discovered that we had five different shitot as to when it is that we have the din of maskirim, Gvurot Geshamim, and which is very strange. Basically, I mean, it could be the first day, and it could be the second day, and it could be the sixth day, and it could be the seventh day, and it could be the eighth day. And then it could be part of the eighth day. So it's actually six different shitas. And that is, you must admit, a rather strange situation. But if you think about the issues over here, it's not as strange as it appears, because the fact is that we are struggling between a rock and a hard place. And that is expressed in the Mishnah's discussion between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Because on the one hand, we have a deep reason to want to be mazkir, the inyan of the Geshamim, and that is because it's, as we said, it's a time of din ala Geshamim, and there is therefore a issue of being actually meratza Takarish Borchu with the inyan of the Geshamim. And on the other hand, we don't want it to rain. And the mentioning of the rain within the context of the tefillah seems to be actually opening up the door to a tefillah for Geshem. And even though we're saying that part of the machlokas, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, is, but I never said to ask for Geshem, I only said to be maskir Geshem, then that brings us to the problem of, if you only said to be maskir Geshem, then why aren't we maskir Geshem all the time? So that we've got this issue over here of, do we want the Geshem or don't we want the Geshem? And because of that, then what we're really talking about over here is our relationship to Sukkah as a time of transition, which, remember, is fundamental to the concept of what a Sukkah is. It's not simply because the Torah calls the Sukkah Tkufat HaShana, which is that it's that changeover period of the year, which is, even as we experience it, it's partially the end of the period of Din of the previous year, and it's partially the beginning of the next year and our involvement in the development of the next year. But it's also because wherever we have an Indian of Sukkah, it's transition, whether it's coming from Eretz Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, whether it's coming Yaakov Avinu coming back home, whether it's the actual idea of Maaseh Bereishis itself, which is done as a transition between Ayin and Yesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yeshu B'Sukkah, whether it's transition between Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBa, the Yom Nashek, which is the essence of Sukkah. The bottom line is that we are transitioning between the period of which the Geshem is not desirable to the period where the Geshem is desirable. So the question is, where's the tipping point? In other words, we're caught between two different issues. Where's the tipping point? So when you're dealing with a tipping point, the question, whether it's the first or whether it's the sixth or whether it's the seventh or whether it's the eighth, is much more understandable. And what is not as understandable is the issue of why it is that we need the entire raya that we're maskir. Because, I mean, I don't get it. If the Torah, what's our problem here? If the Torah tells us to do all of this aveda in order to bring Geshamim, wouldn't you say that it's a little bit weird to say, but we don't want Geshamim? I mean, like we're carrying around our lulav and our esrog, and we're saying kishim shi'ef sheli olam b'li geshem on these, with these minim, or we said kishim, or we talked about the modeling it on the nisach hamayim. So, I mean, the Torah says to do all of these things. So why are we doing all of these things if we don't want geshem? Couldn't we ask the same question on that as well? If you don't want geshem, Gavi, you're following me around. If you don't want Geshem, why are you being Menasech Mayim? It's exactly the same question, isn't it? I mean, so what's this whole discussion of? You know, if this is where we patterned it, so then this is where we patterned it. What's going on? So we're forced to conclude, gentlemen, that the issue over here is specifically the question of how we relate to Azkara as opposed to Shelah. Obviously, right? I mean, that's good for what Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer are discussing. I didn't say to ask for it. I only said to mention it. And then again, so, okay, so if you're mentioning it, mention it all year round. Why would you just be mentioning it? So there's a mysterious undercurrent going on over here. You know, and that mysterious undercurrent relates to the other question. If indeed we're just being Masker Geshover, did we need a pasuk to tell me, why do we say Somech Noflim? Do we need a pasuk to say, and why do we say the Matir Asurim? Do we need a pasuk to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechayim Esim? No. We didn't ask Loma B'Tfila, did we? We didn't bring a raya from the Torah. Yes, you have to mention in your Shmona Esrei or in any tefillah that you have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Rofei Cholim. We didn't ask that. So why did we ask that about the Geshamim? If the issue of the Geshamim is simply that this is the issue, this is the way the world is. We want to be Misader, the Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before we actually get to ask our Tzrachim. And we had to go, we had to bring a special raya from the Iker Nekuda of the Kriyat Shema, in which our Aveda Shebelev is considered to be part of mentioning Geshami. Why? And why does Rebbe Eliezer say, well, yeah, if you want to, you could say it all year round. You're right. You could just say it all year round. But we don't paskin, you could just say it all year round. You can't say it all year round. If you do say it all year round, so then you're not going to be out to your tila. As you know, if you say, we're going to get there today. If you say the Mashivaruch Morid HaGeshem in the middle of the summer, you, in fact, will have to repeat your tefillah. So we don't paskin like Rebbe Eliezer. So what this implies is that the machlokas has to do specifically with the issue of your saying something in the context of tefillah, which is a tzorech that is defined by the particular time, and it's not a description of the way Maaseh Bereishis is, the way Rebbe Eliezer claims, who doesn't need the raya of Minayin Shebet Tefillah. And you'll notice that the Minayin Shebet Tefillah pasuk, which relates Matar to the Aveda Shebelev, is the pasuk of V'natati Mitar Artzechem Bi'ito. It mentions the specific time in Kriyat Shema. And that's part of the whole idea. I will give you the rains at the correct time, not at the wrong time. But it means that even the remez in the tefillah, the mitzvah of connecting it to tefillah itself, is nogea, the correct time. And it's not something that's meant to be a definition all around. Now, this question has tremendous implications, halacha lemaisa. For instance, how do you pronounce Mashivaruch Umorid Hagesha? Do you say Morid HaGeshem or do you say Morid HaGashem? Now, I'm sure you know that there are different minhagim about that issue, that in Eretz Yisrael, the minhag is to say Morid HaGeshem and not Morid HaGashem. But it's a halachic question. Rav Meisher Paskin that you should say B'dafka Morid HaGeshem, HaGashem rather, and not Morid HaGeshem. Rav Shlomo Zalman Paskin that you say HaGeshem, the meaning in Yerushalayim to say HaGeshem. What's the difference? There's an amazing, important difference. The difference is if we're saying, as Rebbe Eliezer claims, that this is just a list of askaras dvarim that are the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows his gvuras to the Olam. So then Geshem, Refuah, Semech Neiflin, Mechayim Meisim, they're all basically the same thing. You only use a kamatz where you've ended an idea, right? At the end of a pasuk, you say the kamatz. So now the geshem would turn into the gashem. If you have a list of things, geshem, smicha, refuah, of course you wouldn't say gashem. So the moment that we say mashi varoch umorid ha-gashem, what we're saying is, okay, that's one issue. Now let's move on to a completely different set of issues, which is somech raflim, rafei cholim, matir asurim, etc., right? Okay, but then that means that this is a different type of askara. And therein lies the problem. Because if it is tied to the eight, then it's tied to the need. And it's not tied just to the fact that the world is a particular way, possibly. And the issue is, if you are saying something, can you avoid the implications that this has personal meaning to you? That's the question. So if you're talking about something which indeed is the way the world is, so you're saying Mechayim Etim, Bito. So I understand, okay, so now I'm being Masker Shevach Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But here, all of a sudden, this talking human comes along and starts talking, which he didn't do yesterday, he starts talking about the fact that now it's time for rain. So does that mean now it's time for rain? Or does it mean now is the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings rain, right? That's the issue. So if it's the now's the time for rain, so then the problem is that now it isn't the time for rain, because you're not supposed to be mevakish for rain at this time. You're only supposed to do Aveda. Ah, so herein lies the rub. Aveda Shebelev is not Aveda. Aveda Shebelev is something completely different. By the way, the mitzvah of tefillah does not come from this pasuk in Kriyat Shema. The mitzvah of tefillah comes from the pasuk in Mishpatim, Vavatem et Hashem Elokecha. So therefore, what we're talking about over here is a completely different issue, is something that is internal and has to do with your experience of reality, which is the big chiddush. How do I know I should say something like that in tefillah as part of the chefetz of tefillah when I'm dealing with my sabereshes? Maybe I shouldn't say that at all. That's the Gemara's kasha, minayin shebet tefillah. Because otherwise, why don't we just ask on everything? Minayin shebet tefillah, we should say so much. Well, this is an insane question. Chazal and metaken to say it's tefillah. I understand. You're supposed to say this is the nitzarat tefillah. These are the things that you ask. Well, what's the problem? Minayin shebet tefillah. So obviously, we are talking about something unique over here, and therefore we are being torn in two different directions. The nature of the way the world is, which is ad ein cheker, the issue of gevurais, which has to do with gevurotzi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and being meratzi lefanav. And on the other hand, the question of, and what about your own personal stake? Can you talk about something that you have a personal stake in as if it's a description of the nature of reality? That has tremendous implications on a day-to-day basis of a person's aveda. And we try to say at the end, aseh leman shemecha, aseh leman yiminecha. Do we feel like phonies when we say that? Are we talking about something that we want and we're using that as an excuse? These are all questions that have to come to be deeper understandings of the nature of our Masechet. That's why I'm bringing it up. So all of these various shitot and the way that we relate the transition of Sukkot to the transition between the personal and the universal is deeply part of the whole issue of din, where you're not even allowed to use a pasuk that has to do with the personal in your list of the 10 psukim for Malchus Zichronos V'Shefres. You cannot say a pasuk of Zachreini Elokai L'Tova. What's wrong with that? Because it's personal. You can't say Malkenu and count that as one of the Malchias. Why? Because you're not saying it's universal. You're saying it's Malkenu. These are all interrelated issues. The universality of din versus the personal element of din. And may I point out to you that it is introduced in the Torah in the first issue that happens when we talk about Gvurais, and that is the birth of Yitzchak. The difference between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hakpada on Sarah, why did she laugh? And his lack of Hakpada on Avram, name the kid laugh, because it's a good laugh. What the heck? Which way is it? Because Sarah personalized it. Remember that Sarah's, as Rashi says, Haita li edna, she looks down at her breasts. She says, these withered breasts are going to be giving. What do you mean, these withered breasts? What is this about you? And that's the point of the way the Chazal put it. She went and ran around and talked about it to her relatives. That's the point. Bikir ba. Masha'inkein, according to Avram Avinu, Avram Avinu was amazed at the fact, ha'leben mea, a man who's this old, he's going to have a child? That's the point. Has nothing to do with him personally. That tiny difference is the problem that we have over here in the Azkarat Gishamim at a time when it has personal implications versus its universal implications. This has everything to do with the Machlokas of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer on the extremes. Do we mention it at all? And then the question of the transition of the din into Sukkot, which is the various shitas. So we got up to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, we're up to yesterday, one line up from the bottom. Rabbi Akiva Omer, B'shishi b'chag u'maskir. Now, we take the sixth day. Why do we take the sixth day? Like, what, just at random? Because we have a choice of 2, 6, 7? No. Because since the word for the sixth day that added the remez was unisachea, which is the only time that we have the Lashon Rabim that is used for one carbon. The Niskehem is not a Lashon Rabim on one carbon. It's just all of the Nesachim and the Karbanas. But Unesacheha is a description of two Nesachim on one day. How do we have two Nesachim on one day if we only have the Mitzvah Nisachayayin? B'shnei Nisuchina Katuv Medaber. So that means that there are two different Nesachim, Echad Nisach HaMayin, Echad Nisach HaYayin, and that's why this is the day in which we would begin the Azkarat Geshamim. But how do you know, by the way, that one of them is water? Maybe they're both wine. Where did you ever hear about water? The Ema Tarvayu Dechama? No, because we had yesterday, Reb Yehuda Ben Batera said that you have the letters Beit, the second day, and the sixth day, and the seventh day, remember? So if that's the case, then the remez is mem yud mem. So it spells water, remize maya. Ask the Gemara, now make up your mind. If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera, so then say what Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera said. Say mem yud mem starts therefore on day two, where the remez is of the mayim. So neima kavati. No, Rabbi Akiva says there's two different issues. There's the what are you being menasech? That's the remez to mayim. There's the fact that you're being menasech at extra nesech, that only comes from the extra word of nisachah. And therefore, ki k'tiv nisuch yitera, the only place where we say, see in the pasuk, that we should do an additional nesech, is davka on shishi udiktiv. Now we have a completely different makor among the Tanoim, and that is the shita of the makor of Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan says, it says, Bakodesh Hasech Nesach Shechar LaHashem. What exactly does Nesach, Hesach, Nesach mean? Obviously, that means that the Torah is giving a remez that there are two different Nisachim. B'shnei Nisuchin HaKatub B'daber. One is Nisuch Mayim and one is Nisuch Yayim. But wait a minute. This has nothing to do with Sukkot. This is said on the Tamid. So how do you know that there's Mayim? Here you can't come and tell me it's Mayim because of Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera. So how do you know it's mine? Maybe both of them are yayin. Maybe it's coming to tell me that there are two separate points at which you do the nesachim or something. I don't know. Ah, says Rabbi Natan, because im kein licht of kra, the Torah should use hasech hesech or nasech nesech. We mean hasech nesech. So if you're changing the lush, the pashtus is that the Torah should use not, it should actually say the language of hasech hasech, because I mean, that's not the, it's not grammatical. But the Torah should use a remez in the way that the pasuk is presented to say that additional remez twice, the nesach, instead of putting it together this way, of hasech nesach. Since it puts it together as hasech nesach, so therefore it must be coming gufa to be meramis to you that there are two different types, which must be nerchad demayev echad decham. Okay, so now, what is the basis of the following Mishnah, which we had back in Masechet Sukkah? It said over there, Nisach HaMayim Kol Shiva. All 7 days is Nisach HaMayim. Who is that going according to? Is it going according to Rabbi Yehoshua, who said that we start only on Shmini Atzeres? He said it's only one day. Is it going according to Rabbi Akiva, who said we start on the sixth day? So then it's 2 days. If it's going like Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera, who said that it starts on the second day, so then it's 6 days. I mean, what exactly is the meaning of 7 days, which is being said that that's the Dover Parsha? Well, couldn't it be Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera? Maybe Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera agrees with Rabbi Yehuda of the Mishnah in Sukkah, the later Mishnah in Sukkah that says Rabbi Yehuda Omer, below Gayam and Asech Koshmona. Remember that Rabbi Yeshua's shita was that even on Shmini Atzeres, we do an additional Nisach. So it turns out that you then have 7 days, because according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera, you took out day one because you learned it out from the remez of Mayim, Sheni, Shishi, and Shvi. Okay, but you're adding now day eight, because if he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, so then you have to add in also Shemini Atzeres. So that's why it's saying that you would have 7 days of Nisach HaMayim. So it would still work out, because Mapek Rishon, take out day one and add in day eight. You still end up with Shvi. Umaayo Shemini. No, that's crazy. The only reason that he starts on day two is what? Because the remez of mem yud mem begins on day two. Yeah, but the remez of mem yud mem ends on day seven. So where would we get the idea that we should continue into Shmini Atzeres? It doesn't make sense that he's referring to Shmini Atzeres. So then that means that you cannot say that it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, because since he starts with Sheni Yehuda Remizi, so it's also true on the last day, Ki Remizi Mayim B'Shvi Yehuda Remizi, so that it's not Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. Fine. So who is it? Ela Rabbi Yoshua. So maybe it's going Aliba to Rabbi Yoshua. So even though Rabbi Yoshua, obviously he says Beferish, that we don't start until after Sukkot, or after we put down the lulav, we'll talk about, but that has nothing to do with the idea of Nisuch HaMayim. He doesn't interrelate Nisuch HaMayim to Askaras Geshamim. He's not talking about any Mem Yud Mems or anything like that. To him, the Makor, and we know this because we've seen how he relates to Halacha LeMoshe B'Sinai, the Makor of the Din of Nisuch HaMayim is not based on any Ramazim in the Torah. It's based on Halacha LeMoshe B'Sinai. That Nisuch HaMayim called Shiva, that's what he holds. Why? Hilchsa Gemirla. We know that this is halacha. We've talked about this halacha so many times. The Omer Abami, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Nechumya, Ish Bikat Beit Choratan, that the three halachas, Eser Netiot, that you're allowed to continue to do Harisha all the way up to Shemitah, and you don't have to stop Shloshim Yom before, or certainly not the earlier times that Chazal were Mitaken for the different types of extensions of Shemitah to stop doing it from depending on what it is, but perhaps even from Atzeret or Pesach, the din that you can continue going all the way up to Shemitah, and the din of Arava, that we use the Arava around the Mizbeach for a special mitzvah in the Beis HaMikdash, and this mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim, all these three things were Halacha LeMoshe B'Sinai, and they were put together because they were mentioned together in the Beit HaMidrash, not because they're connected to Halacha LeMoshe B'Sinai, supposedly. But in any event, then it works out perfectly well, according to Rabbi Yeshua. You started with the assumption of the model being a Nisuch HaMayim. But if, according to Rabbi Yeshua, it has nothing to do with Nisuch HaMayim, then Nisuch HaMayim is a simple Halacha LeMoshe B'Sinai, so then fine. What does it have to do with any of these other Ramazim? Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we said that Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Yeshua, Ha'over Lifnei HaTeiva, B'Yom Tov HaAchron Shel Chag, so we have this last Maimer. So it depends on whether you're the Baal Shachris or whether you're the Baal Mutza. So if you were the one who was saying the Yom Tov, you're the one on Shmini Atzeres, and you're the one who's the Achron, meaning that you're saying the Musaf as the Baal, the Baal Shliach Tzibur. So then you do say the idea of the Geshamim and your Maskir, the Gvuras Geshamim, Mashiva Ruach, Merid HaGesh. But the Rishon, who was the Baal Shachris, does not say it. And the opposite on Yontav Rishon Shel Pesach. The first one is the Baal Shachris, he's Maskir. The second one, meaning the Baal Musaf, is not Maskir. And this is Rabbi Yehuda B'Shem Rabbi Yoshua. Now, the problem is that that's not the information that we have about Rabbi Yoshua, because we had two discussions in the name of Rabbi Yoshua. One is the Mishnah, which doesn't really fit what he's saying. Hi, Rabbi Yoshua. Who is the Rabbi Yoshua that supposedly he is quoting over here, that Rabbi Yehuda is claiming said this? It can't be Rabbi Yoshua in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah says, B'yom tov ha'achron u'maskir, right? So he says, you say it on the last day. The last day is mashma, the whole last day. There's no difference between Shachris and Musaf. Where you get this idea, Shachris and Musaf. So that's not what Rabbi Yeshua is saying here. And if it's talking about the other Rabbi Yeshua that we had in the Brice that before, the Rabbi Yeshua means Sha'at hanachato. It's when you put down the lulav. So then it's even on the seventh day, maybe it means literally the seventh day, Mishnah. The other one means even at the nighttime of Shmini Atzeres, you'd already be saying it, but certainly you're saying it during Shachris. So how could you say that according to Rabbi Yehuda is quoting Rabbi Yeshua when any version of Rabbi Yeshua with which we are aware is not what Rabbi Yeshua said? And it's something else that bothers me about Rabbi Yehuda. He keeps quoting people that don't exist. I mean, Rabbi Yehuda also said in a brayta, Mishum ben b'teira. Now here he quotes somebody else, that supposedly there's a ben b'teira, which, I mean, it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda ben b'teira. I mean, we know that Rabbi Yehuda ben b'teira had his old sheet over here, the Remez of Mayim, and he says that we start on the Yom Sheni. So he brings this halacha of Shmini Atzeres, that over lefnei ha-teiva b'yom tov ha-achrot shel chag. So that means on Shmini Atzeres, only the Baal Musaf is maskir. Who the heck is ben b'teira? Where did he get that from? It can't be Rabbi Yehuda ben b'teira that we just quoted over here. Because Dafke, he was the one who learned out from Mem Yud Mem that you start on the second day of Yantim. So why are we talking about Shmini Atzeres? We've already been saying Mashiv Baruch Amar Geshem for the past 6 days. So that doesn't make sense. So where is there such a Shita? Omer Nachum Bar Yitzchak, I got a simple solution. Why don't we put them both together? You never heard of such a Rabbi Yoshua, and you never heard of such a Ben B'Teira. But what if this is the sheet of Rabbi Yoshua ben B'Teira? Aha. So then you've answered it from both ends, right? Well, that's exactly who it is. The Haber Rabbi Yoshua ben B'Teira. Sometimes Rabbi Yehuda would refer to Rabbi Yoshua ben B'Teira as Rabbi Yoshua. And sometimes he would refer to him as ben B'Teira. And it depends at what point in his life he was being quoted. So Zimni Dekar Labishmei, Zimni Dekar Labishmei da Abba. When is that? He used to use his name as Ben B'Teira when this Rabbi Yeshua Ben B'Teira, was younger before he got smicha. So there, his father was the one that had the chashivut, and so they called him Ben B'Teira. But after he himself was Eila L'Gedula and he got smicha, Holabata L'Lisbeche, and then he would start calling him Rabbi Yeshua. So this works out perfectly. He's quoting Rabbi Yeshua Ben B'Teira in both locations, except one was quoted when he was younger, it was Ben B'Teira, and one was he was already a smicha, Rabbi Yoshua, which has nothing to do with the shitas in our Mishnah. Now, there's a brayta that says that B'talu B'ruchot lo chivu chachomim la'askir. So there's no mitzvah to say that there's mashiv haruach morid hatal. There's no such thing. And there's no such thing as mashiv haruach morid hageshem either. Because you don't need to mention the ruach particularly, but if you want to say mashiv ruach morid hatal im bala haskir maskir, you can do that. And in fact, we actually are ma'adif to do morid hatal, as the rishonim bring. Because if you do morid hatal, then if you have a suffix, if you were maskir the gishomim, you don't have to go back and say over the tefillah again, because you can rely on the Morid Atal for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekayim, the Zroim of the Oilam. Why in the world did the Chachamim not say that you have to say it? If they are necessary for the Kiyam HaOilam, so then they should be needed to be said, no? Omer Rabbi Chanina, because they never stop anyway. So since they are part of the way the world is, rather than something that may be and may not be. So therefore, lefisha einan etzarin, we don't say them. How do we know that that's true? How do we know that tal is never, ever lacking in the world? Because without it, the world could not survive. Tichtiv. But yom Elio Atishpi mitoshvei Gilad elachav. Elio Atishpi says to Achav, when he's furious, and they refuse to change their ways. So he says, Chai Hashem Elokei Yisrael Asher Amarati Lefanav, Im Yiyah Hashanim Ha'ela Talam Atar Ki'im Lefi Dvari. Unless you follow what I'm telling you, I'm going to control the Tal and Matar, and there will no longer be Tal and Matar if I don't say so. And then, at the end, after 3 years, where Elio wants to get now another one of the mafatechot, k'tiv leich ra'el Achav, it's time for you to go to Achav and to tell him that you're giving him back the rights to reign, and it only mentions reign. V'etznamataropeneyadaman, I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will now provide reign. Why doesn't he say, and I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will provide also tal? I mean, didn't Elio say there's not going to be talumatar? So Hashem should say, okay, now there is going to be talumatar, right? So why did Hashem not say that there's going to be rain? I mean, there's going to be tal. My time, Obviously, because it was never stopped. And it was Delo Miatzer. So because of that, you can't say, I'm going to now start the Tal. He never stopped the Tal. Wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense. If the Tal never stops, what was Elio crazy? Was he telling Achav something that isn't true? He was telling Achav there's not going to be any Tal. And it turns out there was Tal. I mean, doesn't that sort of undermine everything he's trying to achieve over here? So, why did Elio include that in his Shmua? No. Elio said to Achav that there will be Tal. Of course, there's Tal. But the Tal that will be coming is not going to be the Tal that you're looking for, which is Tal of Brocha. Afilo Tal de Brocha nami lo asi. There will be Tal which is sufficient for survival, but there will not be Tal Brocha. Brocha means increase. There will not be a Tal of Brocha. Okay, fine. So then that means that the Tal of Brocha stopped. So if the Tal of Brocha stopped, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have said, and then I will give Tal of Brocha and Matar. Instead, he only says, I'm going to give Matar. Why didn't Hashem say, I'm going to give Tal of Brocha? Because it wouldn't have made any point, you see. What's Achav going to say? Oh, great Elio, who got HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us back the Tal of Brocha? Looks to me to be the same. I weigh the water drops. They weigh the same. I don't know what you're talking about. A bunch of garbage. Brocha, not Brocha. So Mishum Delo Minkira, there's no way to actually see what is the Tal of Brocha, what is the Tal not of Brocha. So Elio was telling him the facts. Just you should know this is the way it's going to be. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to come to him and say, okay, now we're giving you your rain, it has to be something that Achav is going to be made on, that he can tell the difference. Note, by the way, is a very fascinating lashon in the pasuk, which is Elio Hanavi Miyoshvei Gilad. I mean, what exactly is the purpose of saying as Elio HaGiladis? We have to say it's Mitoshvei Gilad. So those of you who have been following along the Pilegesh Begiva series, basically, Tosis points out over here that the reason that Asemi Toshvei Gilad is because since Klal Yisrael actually attacked the Yavesh Begilad during the whole story of Pilegesh Begiva, and there were very few people that were left in the town of Yavesh Begilad. So because of that, the only ones that were there, the people that were left were just like people that gathered there afterwards, as Tosfos calls them, Asaf Suf. They're just people that piled in there after the place was wrecked. Now, there were a few of the tzaddikim that were the older miyushavim be'ir. Therefore, the pasuk has to be made that Elio was mitoshavei Gilad. He wasn't from the idiots that had come, were hanging around Gilad. This is just an interesting additional point. Okay, so therefore, continuing on. So since we've shown that the Tal is never atzur, so then because of that, Chachomim were not b'chayev you to say it. Now, gentlemen, you must admit that this is rather strange, because the whole point was that if we were talking about askara of things that are the way the world is, so then those are the things that we're mentioning. But if it's not the way the world is, so then it belongs in She'ela. It does not belong in Askara. And now we seem to be saying the opposite. We're saying something that is an absolute given, that's just the way the world is. So then we do not talk about it in terms of the Askara in Gvurot. Because what's the point of talking about the way things are? Didn't you just say the opposite? That the reason we say Tegat HaMetim, well, whatever it is, that's the way it is. So there's clearly a different issue over here about the way things are. The way things are that are responsive and part of the development of the world, such as Somech Noflim, Rofei Cholim, Matir Asurim, and Mechayim Meisim, that's the question of, back again, to the insights of a Maaseh Bereishis that is a developing and responsive Maaseh Bereishis. And therefore, it's Gevurais, because Gevurais is responsive. That's Adain Cheker. It needs to be understood. It needs to be responded to. But to describe things that are built into nature and never change, we're not going to talk about, because we're not talking about my separations. We're talking about the Gevurais of my separations. Ay, 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 ay. Come on, you boring people. Give me a smile. I try so hard. All right. Anyway, maybe one day we'll be Zerka. Well, we got a smile on Gavi. We got a little bit of a grin on Naftali. At least we get a smiley face icon. All right. I count my blessings. All right. Anyway, continuing on.
Thank Rabbi, you. The mic fell.
Omer Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. So the Ruchais asked the Gemara, you've proven that Tal...
The microphone fell.
Oh. We're going to have to deal with the microphone problem today, Ira. It's actually ripped. This one's going to pot. Talk to you later. Benny, you forgot to update the Windows yesterday. Now it's threatening me. Okay, so you've proven to me that Tal is not going to be Mufsak. How do we know that Ruchot are not going to be Mufsak? And therefore, it's not necessary to say the Mashiva Ruah. That's because Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, the Amakra, Ki ka'arba Ruchot HaShamayim perastev chem nu'um Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I spread you out over the entire world. Ruchot. Now, ruchot is double meaning. You know, ruchot can mean directions, and ruchot can mean winds. So what exactly does this pasuk mean? I mean, if what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Klal Yisrael is that I have scattered you to the four corners of the earth, having nothing to do with winds, just have to do with corners. Ki arba? What do you mean? Like the four. It should say le arba or be arba. I put you all over the world. But it can't be that. It's saying ki arba means, Haki Kamer HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, listen, Klal Yisrael, you understand that kishem she'iev shalo olam below ruchot, kach iev shalo olam below Yisrael. That in the same way that if there's no atmospheric circulation, and as you know, the Gulf Stream is at the edge of a critical permanent collapse, which is the collapse of all of us. So if it wouldn't be for that circulation, so then the world couldn't exist. So too, without Klal Yisrael, the world couldn't exist. And this is the, basically, Imlo Brisi Yom HaValayla, Chukah Shamayim V'Aretz Lo Samti. And that's the interrelationship of the way things are. Okay, so that means the same thing. Klal Yisrael is indeed spread out, Peirasti Etchem. So now it's a double meaning, as Rashi explains. I Peirasti Etchem to the Arba Ruchot, because you are like the Arba Ruchot. So it's like a play on words. Amar Rabbi Chanina. Therefore, if this is true, you're not mechuyev to mention Tal, you're not mechuyev to mention the Ruchais. So therefore, halacha l'maisha, during the Yemot HaChama, if you say Mashiva Ruach, fine, that's okay. You can say Mashiva Ruach because it really doesn't matter and it's not going to be an interruption of your tefillah. It's part of the way that the weather is. If you said Morid HaGeshem in the middle of the summer, so then Machzirin Oto, because in fact it's a klola, like we said from Shmuel. Shmuel brings to them, you see how angry Hashem is with you, that it's the middle of the harvest and it's raining. So therefore, if you say something like that, it would be destructive to the tefillah, which again, is really strange, because according to Rebbe Eliezer, you can say it all year round because it's just a description of what is. So this is going dafka to explain that since what we have is this entire delicate balance between, not like Rebbe Eliezer, who says, I never said anything about asking, so what's your problem? We understand that there is a problem because we don't paskin like that. And therefore, if in fact you would mention it, then it would be a big problem. By the way, you should just know that there are shitas among the Rishonim that in countries that require rain during the summer, so then it's fine to say the Geshamim during the summer. We don't paskin like that, again, because of all types of issues of what status of the world is referring to, Dafkin or Eretz Yisrael, but on the simple level, it shouldn't be a problem if it's only an issue of saying something that's inappropriate in a klola. B'yemot ha-geshamim, and in the winter, if you didn't say Mashiva Ruach when you mentioned Morid HaGeshem, that's okay. because the ruach anyway, just like the Tal, is not going to make a difference whether you're maskerid or not. But lo amar morid hageshem, if you didn't say morid hageshem, then you would have to be machziroto. And not only that, says Rabbi Chanin, I have an amazing chiddush for you, that even if you would say ma'avir haruach u'mafriach hatal, that God takes the wind away from the world, and he causes the dew to fly away. Who cares what you said? Ein machzirinoto, because we are not talking about your particular appreciation or desire for things here at all. It makes absolutely no difference because these things are not part of the nature of tefillah, and therefore they don't even register. Rav Moshe asks, what do you mean they don't register? But why isn't it considered to be a hafsik in the tefillah? If you're mafsik with other things, if you answer the telephone, it would be a hafsaka. So why isn't talking nonsense in the middle of tefillah, why isn't that considered to be a hafsik in the bracha? Okay, a lot of discussion about that issue. Even among the Rishonim, the Ritva Tainas, that the different things are not hafsakas, because it's Gemara, and Rav Moshe actually argues on the Ritva. Doesn't make sense. Anyway, Tana, Be'avimu Veruchot, in the Brayta, it also says that as far as the clouds, we didn't talk about the clouds, we talked about the dew, we talked about the wind, and now the Brayta adds not only the wind, but what about the clouds? The Chachomim did not say mention the clouds. If you want to, you could do so, but Mazkir, if you desire, you could say, as Rashi says, Mikasher Avim, Morid Hatal, and so on, Mashiva Ruach. It would be okay. Why is it not necessary? Because the Lomi Atzer. What? The clouds and the winds now, we're against the whole thing now. Clouds and winds are not Miatzer. Didn't Rav Yosef explain that when it says in the Pasuk, the Atzaret HaShemayim, which of course is the Pasuk that is the opposite of the Pasuk that we brought, the Mechuyev to mention in Tefillah, which is V'natati Metaret Sechen B'Yito. So the V'atzaret HaShemayim means what? Atzar from what? Min ha'avim u'min ha'ruchot. So it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu will prevent the clouds from coming and prevent the winds. Wait a minute, Rav Yosef continues to write, Atah omer min ha'avim u'min ha'ruchot. Maybe it means V'atzaret HaShemayim means from rain, just like V'natati Metaret Sechem B'Yito meant from rain. Where do you get the... No, because it says V'atzaret HaShemayim v'lo yeh matar. So what, do you think it's saying twice? V'atzaret HaShemayim mi'matar v'lo yeh matar. I mean, come on. So obviously there's got to be an atzira besides the fact that lo yeh matar. So since it says lo yeh matar, re matar amur. So ma'ani mikayem V'atzaret HaShemayim, that's got to be from something secondary to the matter itself, and that would be clouds and winds. To make up your mind, you said the clouds and the winds, you don't have to mask it because they're never going to be netzar anyway. Kasha ruchot aruchot, kasha avim alavim. Which one is it? Is it kept back or not? Answers the Gemara. Look, there's two different clouds that we're talking about. The Braisa that says that it's impossible for there not to be avim. That's talking about avim that come before the rain. And the one that says that v'atzaret HaShemayim, that's talking about specifically the clouds that come after the rain. And that's ba'afle. So Lamai says, Rashi explains, since be'etzem, there are some clouds that are never netzar. So because of that, the Brisa says you don't have to mention clouds because there are always a getter of clouds. This is like the getter that we said before about the difference between tal shel bracha or tal she ena shel bracha. So even though tal shel bracha may be netzar, but because tal she ena shel bracha is not, then we don't have to mention the tal. The same idea over here. So there are some clouds that will always be present. And we're going to talk about these clouds that come afterwards, that why they are useful. And ruchot aruchot is also not a problem because ha beruach mitzuya. So the Braisa that says that there's got to always be circulation. Yes, of course, there has to be air circulation. That's called the ruach mitzuya. But the Braisa that says that sometimes you will not have wind, that's talking about particularly powerful winds that are very useful at times, but you won't have them. What do you mean you won't? But then they're not just useful, they're absolutely necessary. Because a ruach she'ena metzuyah, if you don't have particularly powerful winds, what are you going to do with all those electrical generating windmills, for God's sake? They're all going to go for nothing? So it's But it is necessary for the beidari, which is the equivalent in their terms of the wind generation, and that was the winds that you need to run to be able to separate the negoren, to be able to separate out the grain and the chaff. So how am I getting along with that and without that? What do you mean, how are you going to get along without that? Turn on a fan, for God's sake. Efshir ben Avvasa, Rashi says, fan, Balas. Turn on the fan. So, okay, so you can always use an artificial wind. So you can't say the world cannot be mitkayem without that extra powerful wind. Tana. Avim va'aruchot shniyot l'matar. There's something that is like almost as good as matar itself, right behind the value of rain. And that's talking about the clouds and the winds. So what are we talking about? Where is that so useful? Omar Rulavi, Tema Rebuda, we're talking about, this is what we mentioned earlier, that this is the special value of after a rainstorm, that you have clouds that stay there in the sky. And that is very useful for agriculture. Wait, you're saying it's a good thing? So you're saying over here, and winds, it's the same thing? And that would mean that winds that come after rain is good? I thought, and it says like in the Kloa, Yitena Hashem et mitar artzecha avak v'afar. What does that mean? That your rain will be dirt. So Ula v'yitema Reb Yehuda said, yeah, you know what this is talking about? This is talking about the wind that comes after a storm. And this is the curse of all automobile owners, where you get just enough rain to make things wet, and then the wind comes along and covers your beautiful, newly washed car, which works even better than the tefillos on Geshamim, is making sure that you get a car wash when you need the rain, and covers it over with mud. So it's the worst thing. And if you happen to be raising wheat and not cars, so then that means that it's covering over your plants with this mud, and now it blocks the sun, and there go your plants. So it's a kloa. And this was Omer Ulavi Tem Reb Yehuda. This is referring to the wind that comes after rain, and it actually ruins your entire crop. You said that it's a good thing. Come on. I mean, obviously, there's a difference between what we're talking about. I mean, if it's a rain that stirred up the dust and just enough, there's other types that are not Ma'ale Avak. That, of course, it depends. If it's not Ma'ale Avak, so then it's a very useful thing. And that's the Se'irim Aleisim, when we talk about even in the Torah, that it's a bracha to get air circulation going around and not to allow the leaves to actually rot in too much water. I mean, all of this is a very delicate balance. So that we're saying that that is almost as useful as the rain itself. The Amar Yehuda, the wind after the rain is as good as the rain itself. And the clouds after rain are also like the rain itself. But sun after the rain is worth as much as two rains. I mean, like everything is useful. We got with the, okay, so you're saying like the whole thing that usually happens with rain, you know, the wind and the clouds, and it's all nice. Thank you very much. So tell me what isn't useful now that you're at it. I mean, lemut de mai. So what is not, what are you excluding that are not something that are particularly good? Ah, those gili delilia. And those shimsha, the beni karche, those are not good. When you get those flashes of electrostatic lights at night, that's no good. That doesn't help your agriculture. It's bad for it. Or you have the sunlight that suddenly appears between the bald parts, between the clouds, right? So then, okay, so everything is adjusted to the particular level of light. All of a sudden, pow, there comes the sun right between the, and well, wow, that really got your eyes, right? So that's not good for agriculture. And it's just as bad as the little tufts of hair between the bald spots on a baldy's head, which he thinks looks great when he takes that hair and he slices it into five pieces and spreads it up. But it's actually, it's like beni karche. It's sticking out over the bald patches. Amarava, you should know that when you're talking about snow, snow is for mountains. It's like five separate rainfalls are to normal ground. Kechamisha mitri la'ara. Take a look at the pasuk. The pasuk is merames this because Iyov says Lasheleg Yomar Heveyaretz. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, snow, thou shalt go down to the ground. And that would be the Geshem Matar, the Geshem Mitrotu. So that would be the equivalent of Geshem Matar. And then that's Geshem Matar and Mitrot, which is a double Lashon. And there, and this is all put together. So Geshem, Matar, Geshem, Mitrot is five. Geshem and Matar and the other Geshem plus two Mitrot. So you see that five rains are the equivalent of the snow. Because, as Rava pointed out, look, you've got to have snow for mountains. Because rainfall doesn't really penetrate the mountains because it's going to be pulled down very rapidly by gravity. It's going to go over the top of the land. It doesn't have time to sit there and to be absorbed into the topsoil deeply. If you've got snow, it's all planned out beautifully. So the snow stays on the mountain. And there it seeps into the ground. Ah, that's why it's as good as five rainfalls. Beautiful. So Mitra, really strong rain. That's also very usable if you're growing olives, let's say. Wonder who would grow olives. So if you're growing olives, you definitely want that heavy rain to penetrate down to the roots. Now, as far as peros of grain is concerned, so there you want the rain not to be strong, to bash down the growth. You want Mitra Necha, so you want a gentle rain. And that would be for your peres. And then peres over here in the sense of grain. Or pila, but oh my gosh, or pila kind of rain, that or pila rain is actually like almost a mist. It is so like it just covers everything. That gets into everything. That's even penetrates afilu partsida de tutikala. If you've got a seed that's underneath this thick, heavy piece of ground and it can't break through, the orpila gets it really everything. It even lets that seed break into the tutikala and it suddenly blossoms into the sun and then it starts growing. It's good even for partsida tutikala. That's why it's called orpila. Orpila means wake up, Pili, wake up. Come on, blossom forth and shine your light. The Omar Rava, yes, atzurba mirabonan. Atzurba mirabonan is a lot. This is very, very sweet. Rashi points out that a Talmud Chacham is always called a Hu Mirabanan. A Tzurba Mirabanan comes from the Lashon of Tzorev. He's a little bit too smart for his own good, right? So Tzorev is like it's sharp. So Tzurba Mirabanan is basically talking about a kid. And it's a kid who's learning Torah, and he needs to make that breakout first before he's able to blossom. So a Tzurba Mirabanan is exactly that partsida de tutikala. He's like the seed underneath a big clunk of earth. So once he gets his urpila, even the navat, once he starts sprouting, he's okay. That's the uripile. But until then, like you don't really notice that he's what he's got in him. But once he starts, like we even say as sowing his oats, right? That's very similar to urpila. Once he starts expanding, so he blossoms forth in the same way. And by the way, says Rava, you often find that a Tzurba Mirabanan is a little bit over sharp for his own good. You know, so he thinks he knows everything and he's always got something to say. So he's like full of anger. No, he's got this absolute statement about this and this absolute statement about this. And he's getting on everybody's nerves. So you should know that a Tzurba Mirabanan de Ratak, he's like really hot under the collar. That's not personal, you know. The Torah is making him hot. That's the pshat. So he's really hot stuff. But it's oraita with the kamaratchala. You should know that the Torah is eating him up. And Rashi says this is important for us to know in order to be able to be malamit chus on him. And that's important for us to understand him. So it's the Torah which is being maratechim. It's a pasuk, alo kod varai ke'esh nu'um Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu compares the words of Torah as like a fire. And that fire is internally keeping him psychologically warmed up and excited and so on. And therefore, without it, he wouldn't be able to be developing either. It's amazing Zohar, that the Zohar actually relates heat, to sexual heat. And it says that if it wouldn't be for the Yetzer Hara, there would be no fun in learning. So this, and referring specifically to Yetzer Hara of Avera, because it says that the Zohar is talking about that la'asid lavo, it'll still be reproduction, so we need elements of the Yetzer Hara So there the Zohar says, yes, if it wouldn't be for that Yetzer, you think anybody would enjoy learning? No one would enjoy learning. The whole fun is the connectedness to it. And that's why we call like Godol Mechaber and so on. And therefore, if you think he's acting a little bit inappropriately, that's okay. He's all heated up. Okay, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you so much for coming. These are great sugyas, no? I hope you're enjoying them also. I'm having fun.